the Adeptus Ridiculous Podcast. My name is DK Diamantes. His name is Bricky. And oh joy, Grimdark. But before we get into that, if you enjoyed today's episode, head on over to patreon.com/AdeptusRidiculous and consider maybe supporting us. You get access to the Discord, bloopers if they happen. The $15 tier gets you all the posters in HD and digital format. It's wonderful. patreon.com/AdeptusRidiculous. Bricky, things and stuff.
Things and stuff. We are going to be doing the Eisenhorn Book Club very soon. Read that, please. And also, if you want to pick up merchandise, including the still 50% off mats, as well as the amazing Music of the Third trading card game mat. It's incredible. It's in stock. It's available at orchid8.com. Shy has news for all of you. That's why we're going really quick right now. Roll it, Shy.
My name is Aaron, and she talks.
$10 was
the airwaves in the isolated community of Augury Point, New Mexico, broadcast an enigmatic frequency known as 99.9 FM, or the unidentified signal. This underground radio station captivates listeners with its late night talk show, where two hosts discuss stories of the strange and unknown under the silvery moon. They delve into the realm of true crime, man-made and natural disasters, odd sightings, mysterious disappearances,
and bizarre conspiracies. Their conversations cover an infinite range of fascinating and thought-provoking subjects. Tune in as day slips into night, and listen as blurry shapes flicker at the edge of your eye. They're listening, too.
Damn, DK and Shy, that was, as the kids like to say, bussin'. No
it
cap,
is,
poggers.
I am very excited. Very excited about it. So, you know, it's going to be a lot of fun, because we can't cover everything on Detective Ridiculous, right? It's just like, you know, you kind of have to stick to true crime. We can do a little cryptid stuff, but like there's such a wide variety of like interesting, weird stories that just need a home. And Slap is great. Everybody remembers him from the Primer episode, so yeah.
It's with Slap?
Mm-hmm. From the Primer episode, yeah.
I was only told it's a new project with me and DK from Shy's perspective, and I did not know Slap was part of it. Awesome! That's great to hear. He was a lovely guest.
Yeah, he's been our friend for a while, since way back in the cursed Warframe days.
Well, when you guys get famous, I simply ask that you, one, remember me, and two, let me do your merch.
Oh, brother. Like, you think we go to anybody else for merch?
Hell yeah.
Shy, we're going to other people for merch.
Please don't go to other people for merch. Go ahead. Let's see if you last 10 days with Teespring.
That's, oh boy, that is fair. Hey, I'll make you a deal. We'll go to you for merch if you don't make me do a quote today.
Oh.
Huh?
That's.
Huh?
Crap.
I also don't think I have the authority to make that decision, but that's okay.
While you don't, at the same time, I don't want to ever risk not making more money. So you know what? I will axe the quote today.
Oh,
viewers,
let's go.
Check out unidentified signal. I will axe the quote.
Wait. Do you actually have a quote? Because that's the most amusing part. I'll look like an idiot if it for content.
I mean,
that's always why I get it wrong. I'm throwing for content.
I mean, do you want the answer to that?
No, I asked out of pure sarcasm.
Why are you the way that you are?
Because it's funny.
Why?
Give me the quote, man. Give me the damn quote.
Mr. Electric, kill him.
Give me the damn quote. Just hit me with a quote.
I don't have a quote.
Oh, do you really not?
I mean, not one that does not immediately reveal what the topic is about. It's one of those types of situations.
Oh, okay. Great. Cool. Win-win. Let's go.
Now, this is one of those ones where I was looking for... So, okay, rolling this back. In this episode, there are not a whole lot of... This is... Okay, okay. Do that again. That was shockingly good. God damn.
Just a little disturbed, you know?
God damn. All right. Me and Shai came up with this topic idea as kind of an in-between before our next topic, because the topic after this is going to be like a big one.
Ooh, Bad
and
Ab
so
War?
We were like, what was that?
Bad Ab War?
I did not say that.
Ah,
there are other Space Marine Legions we haven't done.
True, true, true. But they wouldn't be big. That'd probably be like, Space Wolves would probably be like maybe two episodes. A big one would have to be an event.
Big is referring to, like, importance as well, not just length of episodes.
It's taking all of my willpower not to make an adult-themed joke right now.
Penis. Anyway, so because of that, we chose something a little bit more, like, from an underrepresented faction, a little bit more side grade. And then it's like, all right, let's do something I don't know much about at all. Totally out of blue, something that I have very little understanding of. So I decided to begin the research, start looking it up, and I found far less than I would have liked.
Oh.
Today, we are doing an episode on the Tau. However... It is not simply on the Tau themselves. It is on the Tau Empire, more specifically the Tau Commonwealth and the auxiliary species of the Tau. Not the Bluefish people, all of the others.
Huh. You would think that there would be, like, a ton of information on that, because, like, the Tau aren't small. I mean, I guess compared to the Imperium and, like, everything, they're small, but... You think there'd be like a absolute truckload of information on that stuff.
So there is a decent amount of information on one of them, some information on another, and then goddamn near nothing on the rest. And it is actually quite unfortunate because it's one of those things that is slightly discussed here and there in Tau books. They'll have, like, certain ones of these auxiliary species in a book, and they'll do something really cool and fun, but you never, like, there's no canon artwork or anything of them, so you're kind of just filling in the gaps with your mind. This is still one of my favorite 40K pictures out there, and I bring this one back up because I think it's relatively worth talking about.
I remember this one with all the weird, unidentified Xenos in it.
Yes, none of these that we see here have had any lore on them. None of them have ever received any names. It is all just complete confusion and randomness, and that's what makes them fun, because no one knows who they are, no one knows what they're doing. And it's to kind of show us how big and expansive the world of 40K truly is.
I wonder how they commission that art. If none of them have any lore.
This looks like the same guy that did the art for the Mechanicus
guy. Oh, yeah, yeah. I wonder if they're just like, hey, just do a bunch of weird stuff. We're not going to use any of them. We just want to make this sort of crest of unidentified aliens sending off an unidentified signal. And, I wonder if they were just like, yeah, just do weird stuff. We just need it for art, crest thing. They're not going to be expanded on. Just do the freaky stuff.
I mean, there certainly looks like there was a good bit of artistic liberty here, considering the mushrooms with guns, shark with gun face, and weird orb people. But for the most part, when I think of, like, all of the other possible auxiliaries in the Tau Empire, I think about things like this. Now, these seem a little bit more less civilized than some of the Tau ones, so to speak, but is interesting. So, Okay. Anyway, to get started, of course, we won't talk about them much because we already have, but there is, of course, the classic Tau, the typical fish person. Mm-hmm. They are not auxiliary. They make up the entirety of the Tau race for the most part. They are called Tau.
Yep. They're the main people, the Tau of the Tau Empire. Yep.
classic humanoid in shape, hooved feet and hands with three fingers, one thumb. Mm-hmm. They have a gray-blue colored skin tone, kind of a little bit rough in their texture. It's kind of like almost like a little bit leathery the way their skin feels. And they like don't really sweat. It doesn't have much moisture that comes in it.
Okay. No
perspiration. Naturally, their face has that eye slit where the nose would be. And, you know, like, that, you know, they visually see a bit better than the average human. Their visual spectrum is just slightly more extended. However, their pupils don't dilate, so they have worse depth perception and slower vision refocusing, especially in low light. Hence, you know, lots of fancy tech on their helmets and stuff.
Yeah, to make up for their lack of vision. Sure, sure.
Now, of course, their physical strength generally varies. The earth cast and water cast Tau probably can't, or probably would lose in a fist fight with a regular guardsman, but a fire cast Tau is definitely the stronger type. They're like roughly the same size than a human, maybe baseline slightly weaker, because the Tau homeworld gravity is a bit lower than Terra's is, so not as like dense muscle wise.
Right.
I mean, it's one of those things where, like, you know, training is so different. You know, if you're Acadian and a Firecast Tau get in a fist fight, it's like 55-45% chance in the human, maybe. But then, like, he fights an Eldar and he probably gets trounced because Eldar are really fast and nimble. But then, like, if it's a Catachin, he just breaks his back into a million pieces because yeah. He's a 6-7 yep. foot baby ogryn, you know. It's all depending, but
and no, the most the old Catachin guardsman is just tearing through every Tau. This is gonna literally back break a crisis suit.
You get like Iron Hand Strachan rolling up and just the genuinely in game punching a crisis suit to death, like, you know. It's whatever.
Have they
whatever
actually done that? Did they actually punch a crisis suit and win? Fist fight a crisis suit and won?
In game, I said in game. Like, he hits pretty hard in game.
Okay, in game.
It's just funny to see.
I gotta be honest with you. I was like, I wouldn't be surprised if there actually was a canon story where an old Catachin guard went hand to hand with a crisis suit and legit won.
I would actually be surprised because the crisis suit's quite big. And also, if that ever happened, it would be the Indiana Jones meme. The Catachin would shout some for the Emperor crap, and then Indiana Jones is the crisis suit and would just vaporize him into a million pieces.
Or it could be a Sly Marbo meme, right?
Or a Sly Marbo. Anyway, Tau themselves are you know, relatively, they're pretty much blue humans, a bit more leathery. It's like your classic Star Trek alien where they're just humans with thing on head.
Yeah, they just look a little different, but they're basically humanoid.
They're basically humanoid, you know.
Yeah,
little more in this side, a little less in this side.
Mm-hmm. Humanoid aliens, yep.
So, yeah, pretty classic.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Shai says, Bricky, stop. I found art.
Oh, it's no. Official. Oh,
of
no.
What?
Oh, no. She's not elaborating. Oh, wow.
Is that? No, that's not official. That does not look official.
That. Wow.
No way.
I have to say, I said I wouldn't be surprised, and here I am actually surprised.
No way that's official.
I said I wasn't going to be surprised, and I am surprised. It's from the Lexicarum, and they only use official art.
Do they actually? Oh, they do only use official art.
Well, there you go, Bricky.
No way. Go. All right. All right. There's Iron Hand Strachan, local baller Catachin, ripping the head off of a crisis suit. Tau fans, yep. I am so sorry.
I told you it wouldn't surprise me.
I am so sorry, Tau fans.
The Tau just can't catch a break, can they?
They like losing every official artwork. It's so sad.
Yeah.
Anyway. Past the Tau themselves, let's talk about the most known auxiliary, which is the Crutus Aviana, or the Crute.
Ah, the Crute. Eat them up, Reese's Puffs.
Okay, I was confused what you meant by that, and then I remember that you know that the crew eat people.
Yeah, they eat people for the information.
Eat them up. I must say their homeworld is called Peck, which I can't tell is just a really bad GW meme for, you know, the fact that they look like birds.
Could be. Or, you know, they're a little hungry, a little peckish.
But the Croots are obviously look a bit more avian. They have four digits on each hand and foot, and almost a kind of hollowish bone structure. Their skin is very rough and has those barbed spines kind of across it, both on their body and their head. If you look at their legs, you can kind of see some of the spines kind of poking out a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
They have their their color is between brown and green and everything kind of in between, with tons of tribal markings generally surrounding them. They also have exceptionally dense muscle structures. So despite the fact that they look kind of gangly, they're actually stronger physically than most human soldiers.
Oh, because it's just all muscle. It's just all really dense muscle in there, even though it's a little on the spindly side.
Yeah, like, you know, for the most part, if you see a guy who's pretty big, you assume that they are also pretty strong. But you also see, like, it also kind of goes with diet. You know, like, you see those, like, Shaolin monks and stuff who are just really, like, strong, lean guys. But they look kind of small, but they hit, like, freight trucks.
They're extremely strong.
So they're a lot more, like, dense. Like, the muscle structure is really dense. In fact, they often have these really quick muscle contractions, so their strikes, like their punches, are almost like spring loaded, and they can jump really high.
So they got like the 1-inch punch, the tsh, where they break the wood.
Kind of like they punch and jump really well because they almost have like spring loaded muscles.
Ooh, so you don't want to get in a fist fight with a Croot.
No. A Croot will actually do pretty well against a general. We just saw a Catachin rip a Crisis suit's head off, but that was Iron Hand Strachan, so that he's a little different.
He's above and beyond even a Catachin, yeah.
Yeah, like whenever I think of like regular guardsmen, I think of like a pretty buff Cadian guy. And for the most part, yeah, a Croot probably could take him pretty well because they are quite strong.
Yeah. Also, their guns look cool with the little blade on the end of it, like a long gun with the blade on the end of it. Love that.
I wonder if it had any inspiration from the Tusken Warriors in Star Wars. The gun looks very similar, the really long version of it.
Oh, yeah, it kind of does, doesn't it?
Can you give us a Tusken Warrior yell?
I mean, I could probably try, but I don't want to.
That's perfectly fine. If you do it wrong, we'll laugh at you for years.
Yeah, I know. It's going to be a sound clip forever.
Anyway, the thing on the Croot's head, that little ganglia you see there, it's actually a sensory organ. And so it kind of like, you know, a little like the quills gather information around their environment. And their eyes actually have no pupils and are pretty like a milky color. Which allows them to generally see past the infrared spectrum, which is one of the reasons why Croot are just really good hunters. They see everything.
Their
sensory apparatus ganglia on their back is just extremely handy.
I was going to say, having infrared vision is a big plus in combat. Like, that's huge. By itself, let alone having little barbs that can do all the extra sensory nonsense. It's probably really hard to hide from a Croot.
Now, the Croot generally, the thing you always think, eat them up. Like, when you think of the Croot, you think of the fact that they evolve by consuming the flesh of other races. The process itself is called shaping. Which is, funny enough, in the tabletop, a leader of a Croot is called the Croot Shaper. Instead of sergeant, it's Shaper. They are the ones who are really good at knowing what traits are desirable to be consumed for, like, maximum genetic potential.
Oh, that's cool. So they know what to eat.
Yes, they know exactly what is good and what's bad. And I believe in the Caiaphas Cain book, you will remember one of those crew ate a dead human and then spit it out because it was tainted, because it was Gene Stealer cult.
Yep, they didn't take a pleh, pleh, pleh. And that's how they found out about the cult.
Yes, that's how that's and that and that's kind of how they figured it all out. And then Jurgen took a melta gun and destroyed the patriarch.
That smelly pile of garbage. What a good man.
I love Jurgen is such a baller. But Shai posted over there on the right, those are various species of Kroot that have evolved in certain homeworlds by eating the various fauna and flora there. So you have like your kind of more webbed like sea Kroot on the top left, spiny dinosaur Kroot on the bottom left, big buff Kroot top right, flying Kroot. There are Kroot hounds, which are literally Kroot that look like dogs.
Yep. I see the picture of them. Yep.
There is the Krootox, which is the big one right there. It looks like an Elcor. Which obviously evolved from bigger animals, but they're a little bit dumber. So, you know, on so one side, mouse. Big muscle. On the other side, you know, like you gotta no pick. Brains. You gotta pick what you want to eat.
Yep. And so they become the mounts, I assume, because as they eat the bigger sort of dumb animals, their brain shrinks and they become so animalistic you kind of have to tame them, and you might as well just use them as like a mount or like a battle steed.
I mean, they had a reasoning for why Kroot get what they get, but it's one of those classic like Games Workshop like they affect their DNA helixes in this way. And it's, I'm like, okay, it's some pseudoscience alien crap, whatever. It changes their body and changes their minds what they eat. Good enough for me.
Good enough. Yep. Okay.
Sometimes Kroot have been seen to have consumed dead dark Eldar and have become particularly malicious and awful to be around afterwards.
Not surprising. If you inherit the traits of what you eat, and you eat a Drakari, yeah, you know, I kind of imagine you would become an insufferable piece of... So, yeah, you know, that tracks.
For the most part, they, you know, like, they start to revel their kills a lot more.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Which is very bizarre. Shai makes a good point here. Yeah, they can't really eat Necrons, because it will develop little tiny scarabs in them, and they will die. They can't eat Nids because the genetic makeup is just too random because it's built from the biomass of anything and everything.
Right.
Chaos is poisonous because,
tainted,
oh God.
Yep, spit it out. Yep, spit it out immediately. Yep.
And interestingly enough, I'll leave the last part alone for a sec because... the Kroot joined the Tau Commonwealth way back when, because their plants were under siege by a massive volume of orcs, and the Tau assisted them. So often the Kroot offered their services, one as thanks to the Tau, but also generally as just mercenary services. Their clans are very tribal and mostly offer their skills as hunters, as mercenaries to kind of everyone. There's that one in the Blackstone Fortress guy. The Votan will hire them sometimes for tracking. So long as they're being decently compensated financially, they'll kind of go with whoever they want. So long as you do not eat the Tau, because the Tau don't like that very much. They get pretty pissed.
Are there examples of the Kroot eating the Tau? And like, I mean... What sort of like genetic traits would they inherit from the Tau? Would they just turn a little more blue? Get the hooves? Would their eyesight get worse? Like,
I mean, it might. They're also, I mean, you know, their brains might get a little bit more developed depending on what cast of a Tau they eat. Also, you know, the Tau like it when they have normal, normal. What is the word? Burials for their friends that die and don't have their comrade eat them.
Yeah.
For the most part, yeah, the Kroot are at this point still part of the Tau Empire, and they have the most representation on the tabletop. Kroot hounds, Krootoxes, they're all things you can run. Their models are old. however, old. They did just remake a Kill Team squad of Kroot for a Kill Team box, and they look great.
Okay, okay.
I don't know if Shai can post the old and the new, but they look pretty cool.
On the tabletop, if you're like a Tau and you're running Kroot and you say kill a Space Marine, can you choose to eat its corpse and get bonuses?
So if I'm, you know what, that's a great question. My mind says no, but I know that they probably, because it's a little bit too specific. I am positive that there is, I'm pulling up the app right now. There is like a, if you kill something in melee, you gain this for the rest of the game.
Yeah. Because, I mean, that's such a big part of them that there, you know, there'd be something about that, right?
Oh, yeah, there's the new minis.
Ooh, new minis do look good. I mean, to be fair, the old ones looked fine. Like, they're old. The old ones are, is that the old ones? Yeah, they were fine. There's nothing wrong with the old ones. But the new ones do look great. Yeah.
So, Kroot Farstalkers have a different rule. Their rule is, oh my god, those dogs.
Okay. Shy, yeah, those are two pictures of the new ones. I thought one was the old one. Yeah, that old one is out. Oof.
Ah, so here we go. So, yeah, the Farstalkers are like bounty hunters, the new ones. Mm-hmm. The old ones do have a rule that says Grizzly Feast. If this unit destroys an enemy unit in the fight phase until the end of the battle, they have the 5-up Feel No Pain ability. So, you know, like it's just a classic, like kill something in the fight phase, eat something, get tankier. You know,
yeah,
streamlined for the game version.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's not like you're going to be like, oh, choose a if you eat a Space Marine, evolve into a human with big muscles and completely. It's just a you get tankier, which is probably the best way to do it.
And like you can actually take a Kroot Shaper, as I mentioned, and put it in a group of carnivores. So they start with a 6-up Feel No Pain, and if you eat something, it goes to a 4-up instead of a 5-up, which is better because it knows what to eat. You know, classic stuff like that.
Yeah.
Old Kroot, yeah, don't look great. They look like angry bird people and kind of funny.
Yeah, they look creepy, actually. They look like something out of a horror movie. And the new ones just kind of look like... The new ones just look good. They look more streamlined, more sleek. Just better overall. Yeah.
Shai, can you post the Kroot Talks, the Kroot Talks writer? I think it's so funny. It's such a hilarious, hilarious model.
Yeah, Shai, post it. Shai, post it. Well, that is actually pretty good.
It's pretty funny.
It has the stand just taped on his back.
It's nice. Good. It's great stuff.
Nice. That is pretty good, yeah.
He ride the monkey. Anyway, so yeah, that's generally the Kroot. You know, I'm glad they got that new model of bounty hunters and stuff. They look really cool, and they're pretty fun. You know, we read that story in the Blackstone Fortress about that one Kroot that got drunk and started making horrible sound effects, and then the rogue trader was like, "Oh, he's trying to sing."
Is that what that is?
Ugh. So it's pretty fun.
Yeah.
Anyway. Next up we have is the only other one that has a model on the tabletop, and everything else doesn't have a model. These are the Vespids. Vespids. If you can guess. What?
Bees? Maybe like insects?
Close. Yes, insect-like. Very good.
Let's go. You want to know how I got that? It's a really stupid reason.
Why?
Because there's a Pokemon called Vespiquen, and it's a big bee. And I figured it had to be something like that.
Isn't, like, a Vespid or, like that abbreviation for something?
Probably.
Yeah.
But, Vespiquen. That's how I got it.
Anyway, yeah, bees. Or not really bees, but, like, bugs. They are a bipedal insect-like race. They have some chitinous... Is it chitin or chitin? It's chitin, right?
I don't know. I thought it was chitinous.
I thought so too, but people, whatever. Vespa is literally a wasp in Italian. Isn't there a car called a Vespa?
That's
so it's like a really... Oh, it's a scooter.
Vespa's a scooter.
Hey, so it's called wasp. It's like,
yeah.
Okay.
Sounds like
anyway,
a wasp.
I'm going to call it chitin. Chitinous hides and pretty strong, like a biological exo-armor. Their wings produce this really interesting ultrasonic tone that helps them control their technology and, you know, fly as well.
Sure, sure.
They are actually very good when it comes to sightseeing. They have three pairs of eyes on their face. One sees in the visual spectrum, one sees in the infrared spectrum, and one sees in the ultraviolet spectrum.
Wow. They have creepy faces with those three sets of eyes, which is... how come the crew haven't eaten one of these things to get extra super ultra eyesight? And wings.
Maybe because they would develop some of the other unfavorable traits. I don't know, but I know they also have their weird mandibles in their mouths with those sharp teeth.
I mean, that's cool. You can eat better with that. Why wouldn't the crew want that?
So, because you don't forget, you also obtain all the other traits.
Yeah. So.
And also, don't eat your friends.
Oh, that's right. This is all still in the. That's true. You wouldn't want to eat your allies. That's okay. All right. That one makes. All right. You should have started with that one.
I assumed it was clear that you don't cannibalize your friends.
You're looking awful tasty today, Bricky. With some barbecue sauce?
I have been working out.
Oh, that's right. There's not even any fat on. You'd be like eating buffalo. Just
that
bland
is
and
not,
tasteless.
That is not true. There is plenty of fat on me. I'm trying to get rid of it. Anyway,
gross.
There's their minis.
Oh, I've seen these before.
They're
really cool. Oh,
wait, cool.
You know where I've seen these before?
Where?
You remember the game show that we did with... Kyrioth, where I picked out minis that I thought looked cool.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
This is one of the ones.
Right. You like these pieces of shit?
What? They look fine. I think they look cool. What do you not like about them?
The way they look.
They look great. I think they look really cool. I love the yellow armor that they got from, I'm assuming, the Tau. And the wings, they look cool. I like them. I like that.
All right. I think they look awful. Regardless. This is one of those
no
weird.
Taste.
I know. Well, I know that. I will say that it is a common theme here where the Vespids were perceived as never really joining the greater good because their society was wildly different than the Tau's and I think far more violent.
Makes sense.
And then eventually the Ethereals created this very fancy communication headset that helped translate their weird alien language. And ever since they gave them that headset, they were very keen on joining the greater good.
Huh, really? Just because they got a headset that makes it easier to translate their gibberish?
No, I don't think the headset only did that.
Oh, gotcha. So the headset is their way of brainwashing the Vespids the way they brainwash the rest of the Tau Empire.
Well, we don't use harsh language in the Tau Commonwealth like brainwash.
Sorry.
We prefer subtle communication.
Subtle suggestivity.
It's subtle suggestion.
It's all Imperium lies. We don't. What? No. It was a willing, conscious choice by our populace.
Hey, they gave them a communication headset, and suddenly they were super down for joining the Tau. You can figure that one out how you'd like.
Yeah, interpretations are open.
But they are very much used in scouting roles. The one with the helmet on there is the only one that has that communication headset, the sergeant. They are called the Vespid Stingwing.
Okay.
Wait, they are called...
Okay, to be fair, that helmet does look dumb, I guess. Like, the ones without the helmet, I really like. The helmet kind of looks like he's just wearing a beehive on his head.
Sorry, I got that wrong. It's the Vespid Strain. The Vespid Strain is the... They're all called Stingwings. The Strain is the sergeant. The helmet is kind of goofy, but... It is the only one that can translate their statements to the Tau.
Okay.
And a lot of their guns...
They have cool names. Stingwing? That's cool. Come on.
Vespid Stingwings.
Vespid
they are kind of fun.
Stingwing. Yeah.
Their guns are actually really cool, and I feel like they could do a lot more with this. It's all based on technology from their homeworld. It's exotic crystals that frequency is adjusted and changed due to the ultrasonic tone on their wings. So combine that with Tau technology that they've upgraded with, and next thing you know, you've got some actually pretty damn strong guns.
Yeah. Like, so if I also imagine that's great because, like, if you don't have their wings, you kind of sort of can't use their guns. So, like, if you kill one, it's like, I've got their gun, I'm going to shoot you. It's like, well, you can't because you don't have the wings to hit the crystal with the frequency, right?
So, something kind of like that. The guns are, like, basically, like, slightly less powerful, like, plasma guns. So, you know, they kind of hit.
Yeah. Yeah, they're strong and they're kind of, they're the only ones that can use them. That's dope. I like that. I like that a lot.
Yeah, yeah, because the Vespids are the only ones that can manipulate the crystal. No one else can shoot them.
Yeah.
So it's pretty handy. They're nice. Fun. And that is the only model they have on the tabletop. You can only run Vespid Stingwings and that is it.
Oh, well, that's unfortunate.
Just now, let's talk about all the other ones, the ones that you have no idea about because there are no models.
Oh, well, that's a shame. You think they're ever going to make them? You think they're ever going to expand the Tau Empire to have more of these races that don't have minis?
Well, there is a list of the assimilated races in the Tau Empire.
Whoa.
Almost all of these have literally a sentence.
What? Really? I mean, I was going to say, why bother pretending like they exist, but it's like, well, you got to make the Tau Empire seem like it's a much more widespread empire than just, you know, oh, we only have the Crude and the Vespid that are recognized. It's like, well, they've got all these other things too, and you got to make them look a little more impressive, right?
That, and also you think of it more like, how would you say it? Kind of like, these are ways to make the Tau like look more interesting in a lore perspective. You know, you have a Shadow Sun book and they talk about how we were fighting along five sides of Tau, three squads of Galg and then two Greet. And it's like world building, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
We'll start with the easiest one. The Guevesa or the Guevesa auxiliaries. They're just humans.
We've talked about them before, haven't we?
Yep.
I feel like they got brought up in a book or something.
There are some humans that have been liberated. Well, I think also the Caiaphas Cain book. But there are humans just liberated by the Tau, and the Tau, and they get reabsorbed outside of the Imperium, and then they help serve the Tau. And they probably live a lot better of a life than they do in the Imperium. I mean, probably still not a great life, but a hell of a lot better than the Imperium gives them.
I mean, to be fair, being like, oh, yes, the human lives a better life than they would in the Imperium is not a super high bar. So I imagine it is quite a bit better. But yeah.
Yeah, cool, there are no minis. There are no minis for them. That's a custom fan-made one. But it looks good, you know?
Yeah, it does, sure.
There was an old faction known as the Demigurg or Demigurge. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, that's the old squats. Before they got abolished and turned into the Votan. Not abolished,
yes.
But before they got squatted.
They are now Demiurg. Oh, did I add a G to that?
Yeah, probably, but who cares?
Oh, I did add a G. Crap. Yep. Demiurg. So, yeah, I mean, you're correct. They were the old squats. They have been misclassified and since retconned into the Leagues of Votan. Some apparently joined the Tau Commonwealth and the Tau Empire just because, you know, they either owe them a debt or something happens. Often they're just mercenaries.
Mm-hmm.
But
I only remember this from like the squat episode that I did because some of it's still floating around in there. But yeah, they were allied with the Tau in one of the Battlefleet Gothic games, I think. You actually see them flying around with like the Tau or something.
Probably something like that. They also did trade a lot with the Tau. I think they helped give them their ion technology, Or at least helped assisted them with giving them that stuff. You'll find that a lot of the Tau's fancy pantsy gear is normally assimilated from another culture. Like, I think their ion weapons or like their railgun or something like that was originally the Votons and from trade.
Okay, nothing wrong
something
with that.
Something like that,
you know.
But anyway, those are the other ones. Now for the giant list of other ones that don't have much. There is one called the Nikasar or Nikasar. Okay. These are actually a little prevalent in the Shadow Sun book. They are a large bear slash bird mixture. It looks like a big bear, but with a bird like face and attributes.
Oh, are we talking like owl bear?
Like, you know what? Yeah, probably like owlbear. No wings, though.
Oh, man. GW, you have a chance to make an owlbear mini, and you're not taking it? What's going on? Like, that's just print the money. Like, everybody's going to buy an owlbear.
Oh, and it gets even more interesting than that. They are a heavily psychic race.
Owlbears?
They're psychic owlbears with a massive appetite to explore the galaxy. They are kind of like the Quarians. They're semi-nomadic with a massive wanted. Well, the Quarians got that way because they screwed up. But yeah, they do this way because they want to, with this wanton curiosity to explore the galaxy. And they were the first race to join the Tau Commonwealth and have since assisted the Tau greatly in their faster-than-light travel. And they can also move a lot quicker than the Tau because of their psychic power. So they're very often scouting missions and scouting fleets.
I am so disappointed in you, GW. Psychic nomad owl bears, and they're just like, nah, we'll make one Vespid mini and call it a day and not touch the psychic owl bear.
There was a story in the Shadow Sun book where the Nikasar beat the shit, well, with help.
I bet.
With help, beat the shit out of a plague marine because they have, quote, power claw-sized talons on their hands. And I think one of their friends got, like murdered horribly by the plague marines because it's the plague marines. Yep. And went on a berserk rage and started fighting them. It was pretty cool.
I'm also so disappointed because in Baldur's Gate 3, I played a druid. As soon as I got owlbear wild shape, that's all I ever turned into all the time. And come on, man. Make the mini.
There is another race known as the Galg, G-A-L-G-S. The
Sound
Galg.
Like your lunch not sitting quite well? It sounds like something's coming back up there, pal.
The Galg, you actually remember the Galg. Do you remember the Galg?
Sounds familiar, and I've seen that picture before, but Smooth Brain doesn't remember anything about them.
So this was actually, the Galg are kind of funny. They are a giant worm-like species with no eyes, none of that stuff. Mm-hmm. They are incorporated into the Tau Empire and are not particularly warlike and neither that advanced. They created a massive paradise on their world. No suffering, no anything. Thousands of years in an amazing, beautiful world where eventually when the Tau arrived, they were like super happy to give up their lives of pleasure to seek actual purpose. Purpose within the greater good. Some Galgs say, no way, man. We were conquered and coerced by the Tau in order to join the greater good. We were not at all given a choice in this matter. This is a bunch of BS.
Mm-hmm.
Others are like, no, we finally have like good stuff. Oh, This is interesting. You want to read this, DK?
Sure. The Tau arrive at your world with a fleet, tanks, attack craft, fire warriors, and battle suits, and they ask if you want to join in their quest to achieve the greater good. Well, That's the way I think it happened with the Galgs. The Galgs were clever enough to say yes, but there were some records that show what happens to those worlds who say no. Sooner or later, they either say yes, with their cities burning and their shoulders rotting in their open graves, or they are in no position to say anything at all.
Yeesh. Their shoulders, huh?
Soldiers. Did I say shoulders?
You did. It was very funny.
Oh, well, you know, it's arm day, I guess. I don't know.
It's fine. But no, it makes a good point. It's like the yeah. Tau, you know, if I arrive to your doorstep with a gun and I'm like, DK, buy me a coffee. And later on I say, yeah, DK was really nice. He just bought me a coffee. It's like, well,
he had a rifle pointed at my head. Of course I'm going to buy him a coffee.
So the question is a little different.
Yeah.
However, regardless of the current state of the Galg, it's kind of funny. They are also mercenaries. Some freedom fighters joined the Alpha Legion in a campaign to kill the Ultramarines.
Oh, let's go. Let's go. Well some, done, Galg. Let's go. Sorry.
Some fought along the snake people, Eldar outcasts. They don't much like humans either, because they think they're also awful, tyrannical people, because they see
they are
huge. Oh, well, yeah.
I mean...
often when the humans see them, they just burn their planets to dust. So they have a pretty huge hatred of humanity. And mm-hmm. So for some, Tau is the lesser of two evils.
Okay. What exactly do the Galg do per se? Cause like you said, they're like kind of brainless, boneless things that live in pair. Like what exactly do they do? Like, how do they fight? Like what's their thing aside from having a paradise world that the tower just like join us or die?
They have a bunch of limbs that they can crush you and kill you with.
Oh, okay. They're just really big. These really big tentacle monsters.
I believe, if I'm not mistaken, there was the Blackstone Fortress excerpt we talked about where there were a couple Galgs drinking at a bar, and then either the rogue trader or the Kroot. I don't remember. I think it was the Kroot. They were talking about like on the Blackstone Fortress.
How do you know our language?
Oh yeah, right. They know his language because the Kroot ate their like captain or something on yeah. the ship.
Yeah, and the rogue trader was like, "Wow, why they suddenly get so mad?" I told them how I learned their language.
Yeah, and then I think the Galg like tried to choke the rogue trader to death, and he was like, yeah. "Oh my god."
Okay, now right, I remember. Right,
yeah, that's right. I kind of was forgetting it too, but you helped me remember.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So that's the Galg. They're chilling, I guess. Yep. Outside of them, they're... Oh, goodness gracious. Okay, so
great we also...
I mean, there's a couple other ones. There's like the Vorg.
What a funny name, the Vorg.
The Vorg, they are a V-O-R-G-H. They have, again, one line of text. They are a massive Xeno species that are the size of, like, an Imperial Knight.
Whoa!
And
like
they
are... Each one is the size of a knight?
Yup.
Wow, that's a big boy.
And they just... They're apparently totally super-duper... super duper kind and nice and passive and fine with everything until you make them angry, and then they're a giant knight, basically.
Sheesh. You think if you were the Tau, you would want to get as many Vorgs as you can and just cattle prod them and point them in the direction of your enemies.
Cattle prod them.
I mean, it's a bit harsh, but it's the grim darkness of the 40th millennium. Who cares?
What does an Imperial Knight-sized cattle prod look like? Do you just, like, stick them with like a railgun-sized zappy thing?
Yeah, basically. It looks like a drill, and it's like, is that a drill? It's like, no, it's a cattle prod. And they just got them equipped on the Vorg shoulders, and it's like, you know, they just, like, pile bunker them into their shoulders, you know?
Unfortunately, at this point, we get into the world where there is just not much left. There, like, that have any genuine lore. There is one that's kind of fun called the Tarellian. T-A-R-E-L-L-I-A-M. They are known as the Tarellian Dog Soldiers and are kind of like a humanoid reptile mixture that look, they have like the face of dogs.
All right. Okay.
They are like, basically their language is a bunch of snarling, growling, and barking, snapping their jaws and showing their teeth. They're dogs, classic. They are very honor obsessed, long rituals of oath and respect. And if the ceremonies are interrupted, they'll become quite pissed. But according to legend, the Imperium virus bombed a lot of their worlds during the Great Crusade.
As they do.
So they have a seething deep hatred of humanity at all times.
As many non-human species do have a loathing of the Imperium. That's fair. So now they're Tau's best friend.
Yes, they're Tau's best friend. One, because they're a species for hire. A lot of them are mercenaries. And also because, you know, they've are fine with embracing the greater good and furthering its cause because of either one, being part of the greater good is good, or two, subtle
brainwashing. Subjectivity. We just suggest that maybe you want to be part of the greater good. We don't do anything past that. Brainwashing.
There is a hilarious segment that says a group of Tarellians attempted to join the Red Corsairs and were in the middle of pledging their oaths to Huron Blackheart when the Chaos Lord had more pressing matters. After telling them to stop the time-consuming ritual, the Tarellians became enraged and attacked the Chaos Space Marines and were then promptly slaughtered by the Chaos Space Marines.
I get it. You don't like your rituals being interrupted, but my God, those are Chaos Space Marines, and you are dog people.
You really need to being right does not mean you're going to be alive.
Yeah, pick your battles, friend. Pick your battles.
Shy also always has the best meme, which is, of course I'm xenophobic. Look at all, like, have you seen these aliens? My brother, the Imperium, you killed all the non-scary ones.
You killed all the peaceful ones because they're not human. Yep.
There is also another interesting one called the Morellian. The Morellian are also known as the Morellian Death Sworn, which is the coolest name ever.
Ooh, hell yeah.
That is what their soldiers are called and have been known to fight for the Tau for the most part, along with their reserves, as like with Kroots and Vespids and the rest.
Mm-hmm.
But they also have fought as part of that same Alpha Legion group to kill the Ultramarines.
Well done. Boy, they're really trying to get me on the Xenos appreciation side. Ooh.
There's nothing really about them and their fighting style. However, there is a nice little thing right here that says, physiology. Morellian younglings have soft flesh that the Dark Eldar are known to use, taking the flesh from several younglings to make dark, supple robes.
Oh, no. They make robes out of... Oh, jeez. I get it. You're Dark Eldar. You're Drukhari. You like your skin coats, but come on, man. Oh, oof.
Everything past this, we don't got much. There's a ton of other names. There is the Thraxians, the Geatrix, the Herenian, the Domati, the Rangon, the Ostense Council, so on and so forth.
That sounds like it should be so important. It's literally, council is in the name. That sounds like it should be important.
It is an alien group that have acted as mercenaries. Whip-de-doo.
Oh, well, yeah, hooray. Wonderful.
The thing is that so much of this is interesting and pivotal to the Tau's current technological prowess. You know, the Nikasar owl bears helped them get better void-faring capabilities. The Votan assisted them with ion technology. The Vespid's crystals, I think, helped them with like augury sensor arrays, or one of them gave them like scanning suites. Like, all of the really fancy-pantsy stuff you can take in the Tau are often done from some kind of other Xenos race.
Yeah. If this wait. Episode has taught me nothing else, what should I say? The
you gotta read that.
The Brachiera are a tiny, dexterous-limbed crustacean race. They are unmatched in the delicate assembly of small plasma generators needed to fuel Tau Earth Castle inventions. Wow.
It's time for crab.
Yeah, tiny little crab builders that make their Tau Earth Cast inventions.
But like
that sounds important. Like, why isn't there more on them?
Like, you know, a crisis battle suit, for example, that we've seen earlier. they always have all these kinds of support systems. Tau have been known for their support systems. So they have like shield drones, marker drones, shield generators, weapon support systems, battle suit support systems. You know, if you pull out like the Riptide battle suit, if you look at the war gear, it has things like, I don't know, the Nova Charge system and all these kinds of things like that. And it's all often from another fancy race where you get about a single sentence of lore, and it's so disappointing.
Yeah. Man, like, what I have learned more than anything from this episode is there are so many cool Xenos factions that deserve a mini, man. But then at the same time, I'm like, well, if you make all these minis, they're going to start overshadowing the Tau. And that's kind of the whole point of the Tau, is to be the, you know, the main blue people and the crisis suits and the robots. And if you start expanding too far out, it's like, oh, I don't want a crisis suit. I want a big owl bear, or I want a big Vorg or something like that. So I guess, you know, you can still make more lore about it. I mean, you can still make art for him, G-Dub. Sheesh. Sheesh.
Yeah, I mean, that's almost worse, is that there's no art for any of them.
Yeah, at least a little bit.
At least a little bit more. And that's one of the most annoying parts, is that, you know, people who like Tau like them for a lot of reasons. Some of them like them because they are, you know, Gundam aesthetic. Some of them like them because they enjoy the collaboration of races completely different than every other faction in the game for the most part. Mm-hmm. Some people like them because they like the higher like pew-pew sci-fi instead of the I'm ramming you with a church. Some people I've heard, interestingly, like the Tau because they like them as the naive upstarts, where it's like, no, it's good that the Tau are the good guys, because it shows that even being the good guys gets you stomped in the absolute dirt in the world of 40K.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Like, it's so weird to me that people didn't like the fact that the Tau were the good guys. It's like, oh, it has to be more grim dark than that. It's like, what could be more grim dark in this setting than being the good guy? Everybody's trying to kill you, and you're naively trying to be good and wholesome and always heading in the right direction and always follow the light. Oh, be good to every race. And it's like, in 40K, in the Grimdark, that is the worst position you could be in with all of the different factions that are out there. That is literally the worst thing that you could be.
So, unfortunately, that collective, that like that idea of this collection of alien species rising up against the terrors of the galaxy, the Tyranids, the Orcs, the Imperial Crusade, they're like, all right, this is for like our future, the small Xenos that were all attempted to be exterminated during the Great Crusade. This is like the time. And then you get no lore and no pictures, and that's very sad.
Yeah, that is very sad. Yeah.
I know that every single faction in 40K is going to get new miniatures when their codex comes out. We've been seeing it with the Necrons lately. We saw it with the funny spindly ad mech guy, because they're the ones that are coming next. But I'm curious on what the Tau are going to get, because they might just get another goofy battle suit and nothing else, and I will be thoroughly sad.
It would be really cool if they at least leaned into the fact that they are this sort of collection of this collective of Xenos races that are like, no, we're going to rise up against the awful tyranny of the galaxy. And we at least get some lore and art of some of these factions. That would be really cool. even though it's obviously going to be focused around the battle suits and the Gundams and the Tau warriors and stuff. It'd be nice if the others got a little spotlight.
If the Tau had more like variety in that, I actually might be more keen on playing them and like actually giving them a shot. But right now, I only like right now. If I were to build a Tau army, it would be Devilfish, triple Ghost Keels, a Riptide, and like a Storm Surge, because big mech. Big mech, and also a lot of the minis, the auxiliary minis, I think look like crap. Those new crew look great.
Yeah.
But
yeah, the new crew do look really good. Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah.
That's it for me. That's all I got, unfortunately, and that's all GW has too.
Oh, GW, fix it. Fix it. Fix it. Fix it. Fix it. Fix it.
One day, if the new Tau Codex comes out with any extra lore, which I don't think it will, but if it does, we will have an additional episode and I will talk about it.
I am
Until
hoping.
Then, everyone, check out Unidentified Signal, the brand 99. New awesome 9. Podcast. Gonna be some good stuff there. The link will obviously be in the description. Check them out. Go give DK Shy and Slap some love for their brand new excursion. It's always nervous, yeah. And it's nice to see such a great setup for a new channel when most YouTubers just kind of make a new channel.
Yeah, been there, done that.
Yes, sir. So great stuff to see. Congratulations, you two. And we'll see you all next week.
Wholesome. That's too wholesome a way to end.
Okay, fine. Let's do the ooh-ah again.
Ooh-ah!